want to discuss in the few minutes we have here is the topic of kanos, religious zealotry, okay? And pros and cons. And I think we're aware when you look at the news, you know, I see a lot of this stuff out there in terms of people very impassioned and, you know, want to promote a certain agenda. And the question is that correct? How do we view that as Torah Jews? So I want to give you some examples which seemingly contradict each other, suggest some resolutions to the general question, then maybe hone in on the particular case in question. So if you look at the first source that I gave you, there's the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. And it's interesting, we say this every day, twice a day, three times a day, Kriya Shema Lamita. And it's one of the 613 mitzvahs. And I can guarantee you, ask any pulpit rabbi, right? How many questions do you get about Avas Hashem? I remember Rabbi Puck with Satsal years ago, spoke in the White Shul. He says, you know what, I get questions about Pesach, Kashrus, Taras HaMishpacha, you name it. Business ethics? Not too much, right? Unfortunately. Avas Hashem is saying is even less. People aren't asking, how do I fulfill the mitzvah of Avas Hashem? And it's a key mitzvah. It's a mitzvah we talk about every day, and it's a mitzvah which is really a fundamental mitzvah to us as practicing Jews. So take a look at the Rambam. I want to focus on one thing. We could talk, spend all day on the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. I want to focus on one line, which I underline. He says, V'heichi aderech la'avos v'yiras. So what is the methodology to achieve the mitzvah of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem? Yiras Hashem means the fear, the awe of God. B'shoshi is bonin adam masav ruach ha'neflam ha'gdom. When a person reflects upon the beauties of nature and creation, which means biology and chemistry, astronomy, not astrology, the natural sciences, physics, and Torah as well. And he'll see when you study science, it's boundless. It's amazing. The stuff we're discovering today, we still don't know what's out there. Look how much progress we've made over the past 100 years in terms of vaccinations. Rabbi Kellerman spoke about it, right? Technology, medical technology. Immediately a person is overcome with the desire to know more, to get closer to the Creator. Okay? Like David HaMelech said, my soul thirsts for God. Now, if you think about that, my soul thirsts for God, I don't know how many of you have ever been on a hot day and you don't have any water to drink, right? After a while, you're really, really thirsty, right? You're totally focused on thirst. Imagine people, unfortunately, parents and relatives that went through concentration camp, there's no water. So if you get a drop of water, people used to take mud to get, you know, whatever they can, water. So that's what you're single-mindedly focused on your thirst. So you have to quench your thirst. So that's how he describes the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. So it sounds from that there is an idea of being passionate, there's an idea of being overwhelmed, overcome by the desire, right, for this mitzvah. So it sounds like zealotry is okay. And I'll throw out two other cases. One I'm going to focus on a couple minutes. The halacha of kanoim pogimbo. We're going to have it in Parshas Pinchas, right? So you had an illicit affair going on, and Pinchas witnessed it. So what did he do? He killed the guy. Kanoim. He was a kanoi. Kanoi means a zealot. Pogimbo. Took the life of the other individual. Okay? So we have this concept of kanoim pogimbo. We have an idea. It's reason magdimin lemitzvah. It's reason. If you're, you know, excited about mitzvah, you get up early and you do it. Vayash came Avram aboker. Avram got up early in the morning and he saddled his own donkey and he ran to do the mitzvah. So on the one hand, it sounds like we have this idea, wholehearted, all in, and I'm all for it, and I'm passionate and I'm zealous about it. On the other hand, take a look at source number 5. Skip a little bit. And this is talking about the idea of a Navi. A Navi is the paradigm of perfection in terms of, could be a man, could be a woman, Devar Eishas Neviyah, Yadiyam Yo, Yeshayo, both men and women are Neviyim. And he says, Miyusadi Hadas Leda, one of the fundamental ideas of the Torah of Judaism, to know, Shekel Menabeis Bnei Adam, it's a fundamental principle, that's why we believe in Torah Sinai. We believe that Hashem has Nevuah, and he communicates his will, his thoughts, through a man, through a Navi, right, to Kalal Yisrael. Vein HaNevuah Shchala, and Nevuah is not bestowed, El Al Chacham Gadol B'Chachma, unless a person is a very, very intelligent, smart person. Gibra B'Midosav, right, a hero in terms of his individual perfection. Now look what he says. And in no area whatsoever does his yetzer hara, his emotions, his passions, take him over. Elohim is Gabri Bedaito al Yisro Tamid. But rather, he's in total control. So here we have the opposite paradigm, if you will, where a person who's the highest level person, a Navi, we're not there yet. Maybe we'll get there, who knows? Right, is in total control of his emotions. So rather than acting knee-jerk reaction, I gotta do it with great zealousness and passion, you're more measured. So, like, kind of, which one is it? Which one is it that the Torah has as an ideal? And again, we've seen this, you know, I don't know if you remember a couple of years back, 10 years ago, I don't know, people who buy the wigs, and they had a whole thing about Indian hair wigs, whole thing, remember that? And you gotta burn the wigs. So there's pictures in the papers, even in the J-Post, people taking the wig, like the face, like they're burning it with passion. As opposed to, okay, gotta burn it, put it in the fire, burn it. Different mentality. So is that correct? Is that not correct? So we seem to have this contradiction. I want to explore in general how we deal with contradictions like this, and then perhaps talk about this specific case. So to take a look at source number two, not specific to this case, but interesting nonetheless. And again, I'll move a little quicker because I know we got to finish soon. There's a question every day in davening. We talk about Elu Dvarim Shein Lahem Shir. These are things which are wonderful, and there's no limit to it. And these are things that give you Olam Haba. And one of them is Iyun Tefillah. If you remember, every day we say Iyun Tefillah.
What's the word?
Iyun Tefillah.
Iyun?
Iyun. Looking into your... with an Ayin.
Iyun.
Iyun. It's Iyun. Iyun. It's in a sitter. Iyun Tefillah.
Okay. What does it mean, the word
Iyun? Iyun means looking into your prayers.
Oh.
It's a good thing.
Havana.
We'll see.
No?
Iyun. It means investigating. So it's in the sitter, right before the brachos in the morning. Brachos HaShachar. Yet the Gemara Brachos on the second source says, "Amar Rabbi Chanan, Nanu Rabbi Chinino, Kol Hamarach B'Tfiloso, Ain Tfiloso Chazeres Reikam." Okay, then he talks about Ayin Ba, and if you look into your Tfilah, next two lines down, "Amar Rabbi Chia Barava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Hamarach B'Tfiloso Ayin Ba, Sov Bali Dekei Lev." It's not a good thing. You'll have a broken heart. So Ayin Tfilah sounds like a bad thing. What we say every morning, Ayin Tfilah, is a good thing. So is it good or is it bad? So it's not my question. Tosus, take a look at the circle on the side. Number two. Kalamach b'tfilosu ma'ayin ba. Right? He says, skip to the end at three lines from the bottom. V'yesh lomar, t'trei iyun tfila. There's two types. When you have a contradiction in halacha, good, bad. Bad, good. It can't be a contradiction. So it means you're talking about two types of iyun tfila. There's one type of iyun tfila which is good. There's one type of iyun tfila which is bad. What's good? Kavana, I know what I'm saying. I'm thinking about what I'm saying. I say it wholeheartedly. What's bad? I look into my tefillah tosis. I look into my tefillah, and you know what I'm saying? I daven so well today, Hashem has to make sure it happens. He owes me one. I pray to him with kavana. I expect a reward. That's bad. The expectation is bad. So, again, same word. Two different halachic outcomes because two different cases. So, one way to resolve a contradiction is to look at it and say it's talking about two different scenarios, two different contexts, two different cases. Got it? We'll see if that does or doesn't apply here. Again, one side be very passionate, one side be dispassionate and be in control. That's case number one. Take a look at number three. Very similar, but more philosophical, not as much technical halacha. The Rambam goes into great lengths to make sure everybody knows that when we speak about our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we'll come back to Avos Hashem, we know Hashem is not physical. Ein lo guf, ein lo gviyah. We say this in Yigdal, we say this in Adon Olam. God is not physical. Which is really one of the, I think, most difficult things. Us as Torah Jews, every other religion has a thing that they relate to. It could be a cow in India, it could be a Buddha, it could be a statue, it could be a man-made idol. We don't have a thing. Hashem, abstract, intangible. We sense Hashem through our mind, right? Through our hearts, right? So, a little different. So he makes a point of saying Hashem has no body, which really separates us from all the other nations of the world. So if that's the case, the dilemma that perhaps you thought about or kids, young adults think about, okay, very nice, Hashem doesn't have a body. Really? It says Yad Hashem. God beat up the Egyptians with Biyat Chazakah, with a strong arm. Doesn't have a hand. And you tell me, so what's the Torah's wrong? So what does it mean? How can you reconcile both? On the one hand, you're saying, Ein lo guf, ein lo gviyah. Rabbi Targan, how are you? You got a big yashikayach for putting this together. Thank you. Thank you. Kolakavot. Thank you. So on the one hand, we're saying, en lo guf, en lo gviyah. Right. On the other hand, Yad Hashem, correct? So it's a contradiction, right? So the Rambam goes on to say that it's Derech Mashal, Dibur Torah Kalash Bnei Adam. Famous statement that the Torah speaks in the language of man. It expresses it when it wants to express strength, right? It conjures up the idea of strength by talking about a strong hand. Doesn't mean Hashem can bench press more than, stronger, but it means it's an idea. Take a quick look at Halach Yud Beis. Since we know that God is unphysical, it is an example. He that resides in heaven, God, smiles, laughs. He doesn't laugh, he doesn't have emotion, doesn't have a body, right? So we mean it's Derech Mashal. Okay? They angered me with their nonsense. And he said this is impossible for another reason. Because you have another pasuk, which you quote later on, I'll paraphrase. Ani Hashem lo shanisi. I am God, I don't change. So it's going to turn out that if he's angry today, he wasn't angry yesterday, he changed. He's happy today, he wasn't happy yesterday, he changed. So that's an impossibility. So therefore, it just tries to create a certain image for us, but not to be taken literally. Again, slightly different approach, two different narratives, two different statements. They have to be reconciled, and they're reconciled in the favor of Hashem has no body, Hashem is not physical. Ah, his hand, it doesn't mean that in a literal sense. Got it? So the question, how do we deal with it over here? So, I'll give you a solution, we'll see if it works. Number four. Mitzvah kol adam lehav es kol echad v'echad mi'Yisrael kegufo. You have to love your neighbor, right? Just like yourself. Big challenge. Shenema v'yahavtel v'echa komocha. Like yourself. We all have self-interest first. How is it I can love my neighbor as myself? Lefikach, therefore tzorach l'saper b'shivcho v'lochos amamono kasher huchas amamon atzmo. Rose b'kavot b'chvor atzmo. Okay? So what's he saying? So I have to love the guy. Love my neighbor. Pretty hard to do. So he says it's expressed through actions. Meaning to say, it doesn't necessarily mean how I feel. It's very hard for me to feel the same love, passion, as I feel for myself, for my family. Not the case, it's not reality. But in terms of how I have to act the same way. So therefore I have to be chas amamon chavera. If you see his thing outside on the street and it's raining, and you would go out and pick up your stuff so it shouldn't get ruined, you have to go and pick up his stuff. Do the same thing that you would do for yourself.
Does it mean that you
would
non-Jew, right?
What's that? Well, that's a reyacha. That's a good question. A non-Jew, does he fall under the framework of reyacha?
I would think yes.
Well, a lot will depend. Technically, one could argue not. Well, technically, one could argue not. Technically, one could argue without getting into a whole discussion. Not the non-observant Jew, an anti-religious Jew. Okay, not so simple. Anti-religious, who's not, doesn't mean he's not practicing, I mean he's out to destroy Judaism. So there are parameters, what's called l'reyacha. We have to l'reyacha kamocha. What's reyacha? Okay? But certainly in the case of Chil Hashem, that's another fact you have to bring into it. Okay. So you could answer the question, it's a technical question, that when we have this type of contradiction, it doesn't mean I really have to display the emotion, just means I have to act in a proper way. You could argue. But that doesn't seem to be the case. Okay. Now, interesting is, again, the question is, our system is a system of self-control. That's everything having the Torah. And yet we see there is license and, in fact, encouragement to go out there and be passionate and to be zealous. So there's an interesting thing in Rus. I didn't quote the source, didn't bring it down. When Rus and Naomi were walking, at one point it says, Vatera kihi mitzamesetz. That she saw that Rus was misamesis, can either be holding tight, or someone explained, was conflicted. And she said, okay, I'm not going to interfere at this point. We'll see what she wants to do on her own. So the point was, according to one interpretation, misamesis, according to one approach, she's all in, wants to convert, not a good idea. We know we discourage people from converting. So that means to say, whichever way you hold, it seems to be when there was the expression of an emotion, that I want to do something and it was due to an emotional bias, let the person calm down and let them choose to do so because they recognize it's the right thing. I remember once, Hitler, Yimach Shemo, Einstein said an amazing thing about Hitler. He said that he that marches to the beat of the drums can also march in Hitler's army. Think about it. It means, say, if you get all fired up and you're ready to go because, it's exciting, watch out, because if you're excited and you join this, you might join something else. I saw it myself. I was in England a couple of years ago, and we went to the shul in London. At that time, it must have been 2014, Israel and Gaza. Israel was fighting the so-called Palestinians, and they said to all the Jews, don't go out of the shul that way, because there's a crowd of 15,000 Palestinians marching towards BBC to protest the killings that are going on in Gaza. So, not that I'm such a tough guy, but it made me think, go to the left, don't go to the right. You know, I didn't like that kind of talk. So I went out the shortest way, which was against the instructions. And I'm walking on the street back to where we're staying for Shabbos, and there's thousands and thousands of sympathizers, not just Palestinians, college students. 2, 4, 6, 8, Israel is a terrorist state. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. You know, all the stuff that they say, right? And on the corner, standing a girl, maybe in her 20s, and she says, Elna, that looks good. I'm going to join. And I'm thinking really what Einstein said. He that marches the beat of the drums, it's exciting. Can also march on those. And now all of a sudden you became a Palestinian sympathizer, right? Something to think about. So as a general, we're not in favor of this passionate embrace without thought. There has to be thought involved. In fact, I could tell you an interesting story once. One of our students, who now older, he's a Rebbe somewhere, came back after Sukkot, and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, gave a shiur in the yeshiva, and he said, Rebbe, what do you think about, I was in Israel, and it was Chol HaMoed Sukkot, and there's cars driving on Yontov, not just Chol HaMoed, and there's a guy throwing rocks at the car, smashing the window, to stop Chol Shabbos. Could be put the rocks aside beforehand to make sure it's not muksa. Right? So Rav Aaron said something amazing. He says, you see one thing from this. He says, sometimes a guy's Yetzer HaTov is more dangerous than his Yetzer HaRa. But you got to be careful. You think you're doing for good reason, not so fast. Is that the proper approach? Okay? Okay. So take a look at the next thing, the last source. We talked about Pinchas in particular, this idea of kanoim, the idea of a kanois, zealotry, positive or negative. And if you look at the Torah Tumim, the commentary of the Torah Tumim, he says a fascinating thing. And he's quoting the idea that if you look at the, it says, Bris Kuhan Salam, Haboal Aramath Kanoim Pogamo, Tani Shalob Ratzon Chachamim. Upinchas Shalob Ratzon Chachamim. Pinchas acted not in accordance with the consent of the Chacham. So we think Pinchas is a big hero, and therefore we should emulate what he does. No, not so fast. That's not the type of thing we should be engaged in. Take a look at the small print. Vasvar Bazei Yeshlam. See where it's underlined? See where it's underlined? The reason that we don't endorse what Pinchas did, the Kevin de Tzarech Laso Zez Baruch Kinnis Amitis to cover Hashem, since the rationale for doing this is zealotry purely for the sake of cover Hashem, you can't give permission to all people, the average guy, to attack another guy who's creating a public Chil Hashem. He's having an illicit affair publicly with a idolater. Why? Fascinating statement. What he's saying is like this. Person is engaged in doing something positive. He's eradicating a Chil Hashem. He's burning the wig, which may not be, it turned out it was not. Idolatrous. He's doing something. Why is he so passionate about it? To what extent does the pure technical legal halacha make him passionate? No. I have to do it. I have to eat matzah. I don't get all excited about it. I eat matzah. I shake my lulav. Do I start going into ecstasy? And if you do, what is the source of that ecstasy? What's the source of that zealousness? Is it egotistical? Is it something you have your own agenda? Is it showing off? Is it to make yourself feel good? I don't know. Therefore, he says, to have the pure crystallized idea that you're doing it purely for the right reason, not so easy. He said, that's why the Chacham didn't endorse it. In fact, it reminds me, Gemara talks about there were many, many people at the time of the Beis Hamikdash aboard a carbon nazir. And the Chazal say there's only one nazir that was the real deal nazir, not everyone else. Why? Because everyone else, he sensed there's something else going on. Maybe the guy felt guilty. That's why he became a nazir. Maybe he, you know, he had some experience in life, and as a result, that became a nazir. You could become a nazir, but that's not the real nazir. The real nazir is the guy that sits down privately, without anybody necessarily knowing, okay? And he makes a cheshbon nefesh. You know what? I think I need to do better. And as a result of that, I take on extra restrictions, conditions, obligations, whatever it is. Under those conditions, which is few and far between, we endorse it. So to have a kanoi, a zealot, honestly, we're not ready for it. Because we have to check ourselves, to what extent are we doing it because we're really passionate, not so much about the pure idea of Avodas Hashem, of the mitzvah, but because we have some other agenda, and we're using this as an excuse. You follow? So there's a fine line between the zealotry that is endorsed and the zealotry we see. Meaning to say, it looks the same, but in reality it's not the same. Well, I don't remember what I said. One is that's endorsed, and one that we practically... I'll give you an example. One last one. Right, an agenda. So, you know, I speak about this all the time. When Purim rolls around, send out a famous email. Purim, time to get drunk, ? Right? All teenagers across America, I'm so frum, I got to get drunk. Really? Really? Are you so machben on every other rabbinic legislation, mitzvah drabanan? Now you got to get drunk. This one you're makbid on. Do you make a bracha when you're supposed to? Do you eat a kazayas? Do you drink a revius? Hundreds of different questions. And plus, you have so many different shitos. Drinking doesn't mean you have to get drunk. Drinking means a little bit more than you usually do. And has to be part of the meal. So are you really medactic and everything? Are you using the halacha as an excuse to justify your own personal agenda? Or are you doing it purely for the halachic purposes? So I think it's very similar over here. Be zealous. That's great. But if you're not ready for it, don't. So we have enough halachos to do that we can do them properly, technically. And obviously, happily, the emotions that we have should be guided, like by the Navi. The mind tells us what to do. The mind tells us this is the halacha, I'm happy to do it. Last quick thing I'll throw out there. Ready? You're not being, maybe it's being taped, but not videotaped, so don't be embarrassed. How many people here feel they like to eat lobster? One. Yeah, I'd like to eat lobster. He's right. Because the halacha is you don't say EF sheep zachas. You don't say lobster. Ugh, disgusting, the claws. Right? It's disgusting. No. You say, I like it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. You follow? So the reason we abstain from lobster, from pork, from basar nevela, or cheeseburgers, is not because it's ugh. No, could be very good. The whole world, billions and billions served, right? So there got to be something to it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. So we don't restrain ourselves because of our passion, right? We restrain because of the halacha. So you act in a temperate manner. Yes, question.
You could lobster, you can pick shrimp. Fried shrimp, you can sheep's at bay.
So I'll tell you a funny thing. It was the ninth animal club. During the nine days. My wife and I went up in New Hampshire, so you have to look for fish. So I go to the, I forgot the name of the store, and they have a whole section and have salmon, OU salmon. And I see the shrimp with an OU. So I called up someone at the OU and said, well, I'm happy you're expanding the menu during the 9 days. They said, oh, it was mislabeled. Like they told the store manager, he said, we got to get it off the shelf, so that's it. So you're right, but the answer is, whatever it is, it could, in theory, we don't revolted and rejected because of emotional distaste. Halacha, we can't do it. We are servants of Hashem through the system of halacha, and then we're happy that we're doing it. Yes?
Why